Welcome to Table Talks with Kay Woodward. Married for more than 43 years, Kay and her husband Galen have 3 married sons, 9 grandchildren, and are longtime pastors in Albuquerque, New Mexico. With the recent release of her new cookbook, which is filled with treasured recipes and stories, she's excited to bring you into her world of faith and family. So, take a seat at the table with Kay as she welcomes special guests from varied backgrounds and stages of life to dive into relevant and important topics of today. Please enjoy today's episode.
Today's guest is not only my sister-in-law, but also an incredible leader, author, and encourager. Shannon Woodward is assistant principal at Woodlands Elementary in Amarillo, Texas, and recently released her first book, When I Forget You See Me. We are diving into her journey and the story of Hagar from the Bible, and how faith and even a little humor can carry us through tough seasons. Join us. Welcome, Shannon. I am so excited that you're on this episode of Table Talks with me. So as I said in the intro, this is one of my sisters-in-law. She's married to Galen's youngest brother, Ronnie, who has been my good friend since we went to college together. So I am extremely partial and biased. I think you're an awesome person. And I'm just thrilled that you said yes. And I can't wait to talk to you today. We're going to talk about your life and what you do, but also you had a book that recently came out, and I just can't wait to talk about it. So welcome, Shannon Woodward.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm like honored that you asked me to do this, because, you know, it's one thing when we live life together, and we do, but when this is, it's your newfound job, you know, and that I get to be a part of that journey, I'm like, it makes me so happy and just really honored to be able to do this with you.
I see I saw a counselor for 15 years, and I hadn't seen her this time for like 8 months. And I went yesterday, and I was showing her, talking about our family, showing her our cruise pictures, but talking about you guys. And she said, "How do you all get along? Your 2 sisters-in-laws, like your mother-in-laws?" I said, "I can't even think of a reason we've ever had to not be best friends. There's never been one thing." I tell people all the time, I adore my mother-in-law, Jerry, our mother-in-law. And
she is the best.
And we have the best family. We have the best family. The cousins are still close. We are close, and the brothers are close. It's just a great example and tribute to my mother-in-law, Jerry, and our late father-in-law, Wendell. And we're just blessed to have spent 40 years together.
We are, you know, and we're going to highlight this, the podcast, the table, because, and I think they spent years at their table with their kids. I think of what she did every meal and cooked and did. I mean, it just attributes to this family, but also, you know, your point and why you're doing what you're doing.
I so agree. I feel that she gives the best example still. And she'll be 91 this summer, which she would be quite mad at me for saying it, but we're just so blessed. So I wrote a cookbook, and right before your book came out, and you wrote something so beautiful and spiritual, and I wrote about food. So that says where my heart is.
That is beautiful and spiritual, and it ministers to me on a weekly basis. We use it all the time.
Well, tell us, so you're married to Ronnie, who's exactly my age. And you're younger than us quite a bit, but I want to know, just real quick, can you catch us up to this part of your life, like where, how you started, what you do in life, so people can get to know you for just a minute?
Yeah, so I always tell Ronnie, he had the Beaver Cleaver family. They were just truly the greatest people ever. And our family is my family. Awesome. 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 But we took a hard road, if you know what I mean? And I laugh when I look at you and Sherry, and I said, man, y'all really lucked out getting me into this family. Some of these are not like the others, no. But isn't God so good in that, you know, when I was 10, I was saved at a VBS, and my parents divorced when I was 5. My daddy at the time was just kind of a little agnostic, not really believing in God. And, but he married my stepmom, who started praying for him, and I really think attributed to a lot of things. I met the Lord, started praying for my family, and my mom came to know Jesus, and she married my stepdad. I mean, they became missionaries in the Philippines. It's just a really cool story. Daddy got saved watching Billy Graham on TV. You know, it was such a great, great story. But you go along the way, and I just went through, we started going to church, and that's where I got a base for scripture and learning. And at 14 at camp, just that calling into ministry, didn't know what it looked like because, you know, that was in the 1980s and women weren't pastors.
Right.
They were barely women's leader. You know what I mean? They might do children's church, whatever.
They let us do women's ministries. Maybe.
That's it. Exactly. That's what we got to do. So I really felt like it had to be tied to, you had to marry a pastor and it go from there. But I met Ronnie, and he was such a lively, extroverted person. And I just thought, I really want to get to know him. It took a long time for this to happen. And as a matter of fact, I think when he decided, hey, I'm going to pursue her, he started getting to know my dad. They worked at the same power plant out here. And then he walked up to me one day at our church where I had joined what I called the Protestant version of the nunnery. I was in master's commission, and he walked up to me and said, "Hey, Shannon." And I said, "Hey, Dwayne." And
I love that part of the book. I love to say that. You didn't know his name. I thought that was so funny.
Well, okay, but he and this other fella really resembled each other. So anyway, long story short, we wind up getting married, and didn't go into ministry right away, but worked in ministry. So I mean, we've just spent our life, we've been married now 34 years, our life just really seeking after whatever the Lord wanted for us to do. And sometimes, you know, he worked outside of church ministry, outside of that vocational job until like 7 years into our marriage. Then he went into full-time ministry. I got to be a stay-at-home mom until we wound up in Arizona. And I think it was around 2000. And I thought, I never want to have to leave home again. You know, our families are both from here. And I just really felt like I need to go to school. I need to get a degree, go to school. And I was probably 35 at that time. And so I wound up getting an education degree and started teaching. And so I've always said I had to support Ronnie's preaching habit. And so and so that's what I wound up doing. But, you know, I think in my heart of hearts, I really kind of just wanted to be full time with him. Teaching lent to, though, that ministry aspect. We were off summers and Christmases, and so it really worked well with that. Ronnie just retired. And so we did pastor our church. We were there for 15 years. The Lord is so good. And just this last year, so this is just journey. There's been a lot's happened, but this last year, knowing he was going to retire, and it was because of health issues, we just were like, I'm like, Lord, I trust you. And doors opened, and I became the assistant principal of the school I was a teacher at. That does not happen often in AISD. So here I am serving as an assistant principal. Ronnie he's enjoying retirement. He needed to. And here we are. And don't know, you know, when you are in a church and you go in, day out, and all of a sudden you're not in church. You just don't know where you wind up. You know, what do you do after church to go to? But the Lord's open it. It's a brand new season. And it's so
really brand new. I mean, it just happened.
It's brand new. Yes. Brand new.
And I was asking all that because I think that the story of where you've been, you know, you don't just write a book and not have life. You're taking in your life experiences. So you've gone through a lot with Ronnie's health and being pastors and being on staff at churches and not on staff and pastoring. And jump into this book. So you wrote a book and it's called When I Forget, You See Me. And first of all, this is backwards on there, but your picture is so cute. The whole thing is so, it's very good. And I love it because at the end of every chapter.
Can I just tell y'all, you know, I'm the worst about like that compliment taking. And so I literally, we are next door, Tana's next door neighbor. We're up against her house. I'm on shorts in this t-shirt that I'm just like, and she goes, Mom, I'm going to just take a quick picture of you. And I'm like laughing at her because this is ridiculous to me. There it is. That's it.
So good.
Picture.
So, and
we wind up with.
I love that each chapter has like direction questions to direct the concept of the chapter. So I've read it and I want to jump into this whole story. So this book is about the story of Hagar, which, I mean, of all the people that you choose to be, which woman in the Bible, that's not the one I would choose to be. Like I'd want to be Ruth, you know, or Esther or Sarah. Sorry, but
right.
Hagar, I mean, it's like, and you chose to write about her because her story is there for a reason. And I love that one of the chapters you said, you know, if God hadn't wanted this to happen, she could have been out of the picture, but he
right.
chose to tell us about Hagar. So I first want to ask you, personal experiences, what influenced this book? So why did you decide to write about Hagar? What was the influence behind this?
I think, well, what had happened is I love the idea of reading a lot, and I don't always get to, but I love books. We have Mardell's here. I don't even know. I think Mardell's is only a limited, maybe Oklahoma, Texas, Christian bookstore, but they have this great discount section of books. And so I'll go peruse through there sometime. And I came across a book called Names of God, and it's by Ann Spangler. Anyway, I had done I was studying the names of God, and this name she put in there, Elroi, which means the God who sees me. And I don't know, at that time, and what I was going through, it was like 2022. We had come out of, Ronnie had had a stroke in 2019. I had had just a really, I mean, COVID hit right after that. So here we are fighting to try to stay connected to our church creatively. I've realized I had taken the year off. I was finally getting to do full-time ministry with Ronnie. Like it was woohoo. And then all of this happened. And by May of 2020, here I am, I'm having to go back to work, and the door opened for a really great position. But it's COVID, and it was just a hard, hard, hard year. Ronnie had had another stroke. My dog had died. I mean, it was just kind of, you know, one of those years. And by 2022, I was just spent. And I know the word, I have a firm, sure foundation, but by 2022, just spent. And so when I read that, the God who sees me, I can't even begin to tell you it was so tangible, that truth of it. And then it led to the story of Hagar in Genesis 16. So I just started reading and really researching. And I thought, this is so powerful because we don't hear so many over my years in being in ministry, doing ministry. Maybe she was mentioned, but it was more for the story of Abraham and Sarah, not her story. And so that's kind of where that theme came from. It just struck such a chord with me that we have a God who sees us, and it is brought around through someone who's so insignificant. And so
it's the concept. You talk a lot through the book, but about God's presence in difficult seasons. I mean, it's just a thread. Her life, obviously,
right.
Life after she, got pregnant with Ishmael, but the whole thing, it's a difficult season and God's presence in hard times. But I mean, what did you, have you ever, like, so in your life, have you had a moment where you felt like that, that God, that he was seeing you? So I felt for my own life, I felt at times that God didn't see me, but when he saw you, so when God finally saw Hagar, that's a whole thing. But, you know, I'm thinking about you because I know your life and your story. And sometimes mm-hmm. it feels like God didn't see us. Like somehow he had a glitch somewhere.
Right. Yeah.
And where do you feel like that, I don't know, that God's hand reached down and you ultimately felt like, okay, he really does see me.
I really feel like the first time, I'm going to back up. I think as a kid, you know, I had said my parents divorced when I was 5, and they are so precious. Inspiration's really a foundation for my growth and my faith. But when we were all younger, it was a trying time. And I was the oldest of 3 girls and found myself a lot just taking care of them. But I had, in comparison, I have Shelly, the middle sister, who has these baby doll, huge blue eyes, dimples for days, just the cutest thing you've ever seen, eyelashes. And, you know, she could catch the affection of people. She was funny and she was witty. She was very quick with her being able to, you know, shoot back somebody a funny little sarcasm. Whereas I'd get caught and stumble over words, and then I'd come up with a comeback, you know, about 5 hours later. Wish I'd have said that. And this was Shelly. So it made her fun. And Angela is, she's probably 9 years younger than I am. She is the funniest thing you've ever, her and Ronnie, like in a room together. They're hilarious. And I can't, and again, cutest pie, just the personalities. And I always felt a little bit like the caretaker, like the, not as desired or important. And so when I was probably in high school, I was led to Psalm 139, 13 and 14. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. It was like such the Holy Spirit, that rhema word, just speaking into this young girl's heart. And so that scripture has stayed with me. But as I've grown and really reading into this, always just putting myself more as like a second class type person, second class citizen, always making sure everybody's good. I don't know if that even makes sense, but in reading this, I am reading Hagar and her story. When we see God, and this is so good. I don't know about you, but growing up, I always felt like God in the Old, we see God in the Old Testament, and he's mean and he's angry and he's hard to get along with. And then in the New Testament, we see Jesus and he's so sweet and he's so kind and he's loving. And, you know, and that I would say in this story, I really got to see that neither one of those is exactly true, but we have a God who loves us. He has made a way for all. And the Jesus in the New Testament is also Jesus in the Old Testament. The angel of the Lord came to Hagar. That's Jesus pre-incarnate. It's such a powerful moment. And when you really dig into it, she, this woman who is a slave, who is not of Jewish descent, she's not going to be part of this promise. She's from Egypt. She's less than, and she's the one that God picks to appear to first in scripture.
That's
really, and the fact that she's a woman is so powerful. And then you really, when you can grasp that this is why her story is important, because God is wanting you to see you're important. You are part of my plan. You have a purpose. There is a reason for your creation. And that just was just huge, I think, to me.
It's so huge because, and I really, I mean, we don't have time to tell our whole story. I won't get to ask you questions, but I mean it. People need to get your book, When I Forget You See Me, Shannon Woodward. But the story, you go through in such detail, the story, you know, of Hagar, but times she was so scared, she ran, and times were uncertain. And I think a lot of us can testify to the fact that we've lived through uncertain times. And I mean, I like a sure plan. So uncertainty is real hard for me. I'm a planner, and I plan it out and I write it in ink, and I don't want to use whiteout, and I want a plan to stick together. So it's hard for me at times, many times, to trust God in uncertain times because I don't feel like maybe he sees me. I think that, you know, he got busy and busy helping people with bigger problems, and he's missing out on this problem I'm dealing with. So how do you keep your, you know, you write a book about Hagar, and I know you had to see yourself all the way through when you're writing, you know, how do you keep your faith strong in uncertain times? Cause I feel like you're a rock. I really do. I feel like you have it together, and you aren't ever really too high or really too low. I'm like, how does she do that?
I would have to say what it really boils down to is peace that passes all understanding. That when I think back to when Ronnie had a stroke, of course I'm all like, ooh, a little bit, but a peace that whatever comes, it's going to be okay. And I really think it comes from the years spent in scripture, the years spent in prayer. I'm a journaler. My poor girls, when I pass away and they have to go through all my journals of prayers, I just think there's going to be a lot. I don't know what to do with them, but this is how I stay focused. And I think it's all of that combined. So even when I forget, even when, you know, I think a lot of, it'll come to me, the little guy. I want to say Isaiah, and this is wrong. Elijah. When Elijah went to and destroyed the worshipers of Baal, and all of a sudden Jezebel is after him, and he has just done this magnificent thing for God. I mean, it's powerful, and it was a simple prayer, and fire came down, and like, he's so sure of who he is in Christ, if you will. He's so sure of his God. But Jezebel, in one word, in saying, you know what, you're mine, I'm going to kill you, sends him running. And I don't know what it is about seasons and times in our life that we can have such a solid, sure foundation, but a word, a season, a thing, a circumstance will send us running as if we have no sense at all, like as if we don't know who our God is.
Hey friends, I'm so glad you're here. If you're enjoying this episode, please take a second to subscribe, leave a quick review, and share it with a friend. It's the best way to help more people find the podcast and be encouraged. Thanks for listening, and now back to the episode.
And he goes running into the desert. He falls asleep, and here's where God is so kind. He lets him take a nap, and he feeds him. Yeah, and he lets him take another nap, and he feeds him. And he gives him rest, and then he walks 40 days to go to, I think it's Mount Harem. I have to go back and look. And goes into that place where God comes by with, you know, with the wind and I can't remember all the storms, and then speaks to him in the quiet. And before all of that happened, he's like, I just want to die. I just want to die. Life is just so bad. But I think we all have times when we forget what we really know. And God is so gracious in that time. And nobody may even know we're going through it. You know, nobody may even know the battles we face in our head and our heart. We're pretty good in this Western world on putting on a facade and a face and a presenting of who we want people to think we are. But I think even when we get lost, he's going to be there. And he's going to come find you like he did Hagar. He's going to seek you out. And even when it's your fault, even like when Elijah went, and Hagar, in that circumstance and situation, you know, Sarah presented her to Abraham. It was outside of Hagar's control. And the reason why she did, Sarah was barren, and in that culture, they could present their slaves to, you know, to birth babies for them. And once she became pregnant, that hope that this could be it, I could be considered a wife of Abraham, he's got wealth, he's somebody, I'm going to move up in this place, she kind of took on a prideful slant to it, and she began to despise Sarah. And Sarah wasn't having it. And she mistreated her. And there's a whole nother side of this. There's a whole nother study with Sarah and Abraham, this whole story, but she mistreated her. And so Hagar ran. And she ran as far as she could run before she hit the desert. And that's where God came and found her. And I think no matter what our circumstance, no matter what our situation, no matter how far we're trying to run, because we don't know what else to do, we feel lost. We're like Elijah running, even after something great, even after we know what we know, what we know, God's still going to come for us. I love in Psalm 23 with David, and we all know Psalm 23. That's like one of the most known scriptures because of movies or whatever. And I believe, is that, I want to make sure I'm not getting this wrong. It talks about, there's a word in there that talks about the pursue, that the Lord will come after us. And that word pursue in that, it means that he's going to chase you down, that you cannot not be caught. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And this is who our God is. No matter what the circumstance, he comes for us, which I think is so powerful.
I think that's
so powerful.
Right? It's such a good reminder because I think you were explaining in your book that Hagar was running toward home. That's what was comfortable. She was running back to what she
yes.
was comfortable.
Yes.
And
she knew, yes.
No, we're going to finish this out. And that's where she was running, as far away from the uncomfortable as she could get to the comfortable. And I get it, because I love a good rhythm and comfort and things to just go without a hiccup. Because like I said, I'm a planner, but I love that part of her story. She was trying to get to where what she knew, and God wasn't finished with the part of her story that she needed to be back, you know, with Abraham and Sarah. So I think that's such a good good representation, a good of God's faithfulness to those who feel forgotten or unseen, because in her mind, it was going to turn out, and then it all fell apart. And all my years now, I mean, there's been many times that I have felt forgotten or unseen. And it's just it's a weird place to be, because part of you feels selfish for feeling that way. But
right.
So I love the reminder through all of this that God says, no matter what it looks like around you, I see you. And don't forget it. I see you, and I'm putting this puzzle of your life together. You know, it's not an accident what you're walking through. And I have to remind myself that all the time, and trust his plan. I mean, what do you feel about that? I mean, we've lived years now. We know God's faithfulness. We've been through certain times. We've lived through times that we didn't know what was going to happen. So God's faithfulness to people that feel unseen. What would you say to them?
I think he is faithful to people who feel unseen, but when you least expect it, he's going to show himself. She wasn't looking for him. The woman at the well, when Jesus had to go by way of Samaria, he didn't have to, but he had to for her. And the woman at the well was just living her daily life. And it was kind of it was pitiful at the time. She had been married 5 times. And, you know, when you look at that story, we tend to cast her as someone who kind of was loose living. But the truth of the matter with the culture in the day, she was probably very beautiful. When she got 5 certificates of marriage, that says a lot for character, but she probably was barren. And that was one of the reasons you could discard a wife back then. And so here she was, having gone through all this, and now she's living under the umbrella of just regret and embarrassment. And she goes to this well in the middle of the day, and Jesus meets her there. He finds her there. She wasn't expecting it. So when you're least expecting it, I really feel like that's when he is going to show up. But here's a couple of things, though, in both of these ladies' stories. So from this is what's so great. Old Testament, New Testament, and it's the same God. It's the same Jesus. It's the same story, if you will, and women who just are so desperate for someone to see them, so desperate to be loved, to be accepted. And what we see is we have a God who is going to call them, though, to a place of obedience. Go to a place of obedience. And so I feel like if we are in that place of, we may want to pause. And if we know better, give space for the Lord to work. And I think he will love on us and he will refresh our souls, but he's going to always call for obedience. And he called Hagar to have to go back to Sarah. And he told the woman at the well, go and sin no more. There was a call to obedience, but there was a promise. The woman at the well, you will drink the living water. You will thirst no more. There was just such a promise of hope. And for Hagar, she gave him, he gave, God gave Hagar Ishmael and named him God Hears. And so she's heading back to this place that was so hard, but with that promise of, I mean, think about how many times a day you call your kids' names. And every time she would call Ishmael, God hears, God hears. It was a constant reminder in every season. Now, over time, I'm sure it kind of wore thin and it was forgotten, because we see later on where she is sent out again. And that's, you know, that's further on. But I really feel like if we're in a place that we're feeling less than or not seen, God sees you very well. And it may take the time where it's at the very last minute. He's going to show up. He's going to see you, but there's always going to be a purpose, a story, a reason, and a growth time. There's going to be a growth time for you in that as well. So if you can hang on to that hope.
I love
hang
that.
Hang on to that hope.
That was one of the one of the last questions I was going to ask you, is what to say to someone that feels stuck. But I think you've answered it so beautifully about giving space for God to speak, for one thing, because we try to get ourselves out of situations or out of the desert area. And we don't, we're doers. And God's just saying, you know, just give me some space. Let me work. Give me a minute. I want to do this in my time. Right.
Right. Yeah. I'm a fixer. I am a fixer. We go to sit down at a dinner. It didn't matter where we are, who we're with, for whatever reason, something in my character, everybody knows, where do you want me to sit? They tell me. And it's really mainly out of, I don't want anybody to be left out. So I want to make sure somebody's got somebody to talk to, whatever. I am a fixer. If Tana or Tori, my daughters, call me, and Tana's in Hawaii right now, you know, her and Cameron are stationed in Hawaii. Ooh, that is hard when you're a fixer, and I'm not made of all the money. I would, you know, fly over there in an instant, or, you know, even probably live over there, but then I'd have to take Tori and her family with us. We're fixers. I want to go in and make sure everybody's got somebody to talk to at a table. You know, make sure they're sitting in the right place. But the story of Jesus and Mary and Martha, Mary takes the time, and Mary and Martha are sisters. Mary takes the time to sit at Jesus' feet, and she wants to learn from him. And Martha's in the kitchen preparing the food, which that was the custom. The women took care of all of that. And she is really irritated with Mary, and she tattles, Jesus, you need to tell her she needs to come help me. And he kind of tells her, Mary's chosen what is right. And I think we have to take the time to slow down and do what's right first. Sit at the feet of Jesus. And then we can, here's the thing. When we take the time to do that, then we're not so wound up about what's really going on. That cast all your care upon me happens. Mm-hmm. And that be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. That's where we need to be. And so many times, that's not what we do first. At least me. I say we.
I am in total agreement. And I think that that is a great answer to the question. If someone feels stuck in a challenging season, to run to the feet of Jesus and get mm-hmm. there, because while the answer's, you know, coming to sit at the feet of Jesus, I mean, boy, our time has gone by so fast. I was, you know, hoping Shannon at the end, if you could just leave one more, just like a word of hope and encouragement. And then I'm going to ask you to pray over the people okay. that are listening and watching, because I felt such a sense gearing up to this, to this time together, that that your book is really, it's for many people, because a lot of people are in a season of, or have been or will be in a season where they feel forgotten. So if you could leave people that are listening, if they're not going through it, then they have someone they love that feels like God's not with them. So right. give us a word of encouragement. And then before we close, I'm going to ask you to pray over people. I think that's pretty important. So how could we end this that give people some hope?
I really feel like if you are in that season, it can feel so dry that even the thought of sitting at the feet of Jesus doesn't feel like it's going to bear any fruit. Like, it feels like your prayers are going to hit a brass ceiling and come back down. I mean, we've all been there where we're just so bottom of the barrel done. And even that quiet time, we just don't feel like it. Here's the thing. You can't base it on how you feel. Let God know. He is not going to be offended or surprised. And start there. Start there. Just pour out your heart where you really are, because again, we've said this before, we're so good about trying to put on a fake facade, and we can't do that with God. We can't at all. God is not surprised. And then once you do that, just spend time in worship. I have a playlist I've got running, and I just call it My Worship. And anytime on Spotify I hear a song that I love, I'll add it to that song. Something we're doing with our Bible study right now is really trying to learn how to abide and taking moments to abide. And that might mean while I'm in the car, that is the music I'm listening to. And whether it's subconscious or not, take time to abide. Give yourself every opportunity to abide in His presence, whether or not you feel like it. Because if you're bottom of the barrel, you don't feel like you're seen or heard. There are times you don't even feel like getting out of bed. There, much less do a devotion or read your word. But there are apps, there are things where you can read the what's the Bible app? I have the little brown Bible, you know, I think it was
Bible in 1 year or Bible.
It's just like, I think Life Church put it out, or Craig Rochelle, but it's just, it's the kind of basic one that everybody uses. But, you know, they have it where it'll read the Bible to you.
Oh, I love that.
I do too. I have the Dwell app. This is great. I have the Dwell app where I can pick a theme and they'll read to me, and I get to pick the little British woman who will read to me, because
I have the Bible, the Alpha, the Bible on.
Yes.
And Nikki and Pippa Gumbel read the Bible to you. I just love that. I love the whole thing. But there's so many apps now. There's no reason not to have it.
In your head, while you're going to sleep at night, you would think, I can fall asleep like that when I put that on, which is such a way. I'll set a timer, I'll put it on. That way, anything going on in my mind, because it's finding that time, that place where you spend time in worship, spend time abiding on purpose, make it intentional, find those scriptures to cling to, even if it's just one. In 2022, 23, mine was Ephesians 3:21, 20 and 21. Our God is exceeding, He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or imagine. And I just felt like That was such a scripture I have known for years and years, but it just hit me for that season and I clung to it. And that became my prayer. I didn't go having to read a whole chapter in the Bible. I'd go right back to that and read over it. And so knowing that you have permission to do that, it's not a checklist. It's taking the time and letting the Holy Spirit work with you. But at the very, very end, you've got to understand that God's ability is not a sovereignty. He is sovereign. And yes, he's able to do everything that you might need, but a sovereignty is knowing what is best for you. And what your plans are may not be his plans. And then finding peace in that, knowing he is God who loves you. He is God who cares for you. He is God who comes after you. And while it may not look like what you want it to look like, he's sovereign and he sees the big picture. And understanding that you can't get offended if it doesn't turn out the way you want it to.
That's a lot. That's the hardest part, right? That's the hardest part.
Oh, hard.
It is so hard.
But God is so good.
He is. Can you, Shannon, before we close this episode, just pray. I mean, there will be many, 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 many people that listen that are in the boat that they're struggling, thinking God is in the middle of their situation. So if you could just pray in closing this out, I think it could be really helpful to so many people. And let's pray.
Okay. Father, we love you. You are powerful. You're amazing. You're merciful. You're kind. You're gentle. You're Elroy. You're the God who sees me. And as we close out this wonderful time of fellowship, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would just flood our spirits with peace that passes all understanding. I pray that you would begin to send silent echoes to those who so desperately need to hear you speak, that they would see you everywhere they go. Their favorite scripture would pop up. But God, more importantly, Lord, they would feel seen by you. I pray that you would speak to them in a way that lets them know that you have their plans in order. You have good things in order for them. And I pray that you would just move in and through the words that were spoken today, that nothing would fall on just that shallow ground, but it would go deep. And Lord, I pray that you would just move and minister in a way that we can't even fathom or imagine. Restore hearts, bring peace. And Lord, above all, I pray that you would just draw women, men, anyone who is listening to this, to your presence, to your knowledge, to knowing that you are a God who loves us and who sees us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So good. So good. We will put, I want people to have this and to really get this story inside. And we'll put in the description of this podcast when it airs, how to get the book. We'll give direction in there so that people, if they want to get this book, they can get it.
Okay.
I think it's just awesome that our mother-in-law has our books on her little nightstand. She has my husband's books and Shannon's book and my cookbook. And she has to be one proud Grandma Jerry. But Shannon, it was great, honestly, to sit and just talk about this, you know, with you and things that matter so much. You know, we'll get to see you soon again, and I'm excited about that. But I just thank you so much for saying yes. You're so busy. You run in from your job that's crazy and to spend time with us, and I appreciate it so much. I mean, we're blessed to have had you on this episode.
Well, thank you. I'm thrilled, and I just, you know, I love that we've gotten to talk. It's not as if we get to sit and even have this kind of a conversation when we all get together, and so I appreciate you. I appreciate this podcast. God is going to bless others through it. I've been blessed already. I've bought the books that have been, you're doing a great work. And thank you so much for stepping out in faith to do this, to bless women, to bless, you know, families who need to hear the things you're offering from your table.
Thank you. Thank you, sweet sister-in-law. and I will see you soon.
We will see you soon.
Thank you for joining me today on Table Talks. For more content and information about upcoming episodes, please visit my website at kwoodward.com. You can also explore other podcast links and resources there. Until next time.